A reading from the Gospel according to St. Luke. After this, the Lord appointed 72 others, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs amongst wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. But if not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move about from one house to another. Whatever town you enter and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The Gospel of the Lord. Like so many believers, and I would imagine the clergy in particular, and the church most particularly, I have a difficulty in hearing the actual words of Jesus when they are directed directly to me. Even as a preacher with today's gospel text, I have often concentrated on the 72 and their role in the discipleship and following of Jesus. The 72 are sent out, they're apostles. The group of apostles is larger than the 12, which is a symbolic gathering out of all of these. Oh, I've gone on about all of these things. I've gone on about what it means to shake the dust from your feet. I've gone on about what Jesus tells them to do. But what Jesus says to me, I have conveniently skipped until recently, when he slapped my conscience around a little bit. It has only recently dawned on me that the words that Jesus gives those 72 to preach to the cities and the towns, whether they welcome the message or reject the message, it is the same in essence. Know this, the kingdom of God is near. There is only one subtle difference. When the village welcomes the message, know that the kingdom of God is near you. And that near can also be translated about you. And in English, there is that same quality with about. The kingdom of God is about you in the sense, the kingdom of God is about you in the sense that it relates to who you are and how you are, or the kingdom of God is about you in that it embraces and surrounds you. But to those who reject the message, know this, the kingdom of God is near. So when we hear the message and receive the ministry, a change happens in us, inside of ourselves, that conforms us to the kingdom of God. When we welcome, the kingdom of God is about us, about the welcome, about the acceptance. When we reject the words of Jesus, like not listening to them for most of my priestly ministry, the kingdom of God is near, largely as a threat, perceived as a threat, perceived as a discomfort. And at the core of this is the sense of welcome. And welcome And welcoming is a very profound theme throughout God's revelation to humanity. It starts negatively, with Cain being unable to welcome Abel, with the fight between brothers from the time of Abraham all the way through the patriarchal history of the Old Testament. And it ends up with a special emphasis on the need to welcome the most vulnerable, often expressed by Jesus in the words, "Whoever welcomes a child such as one of these welcomes me." Children are not primarily images or symbols of innocence in Scripture. They are symbols of vulnerability. And as the Old Testament develops, there's a triad of the most vulnerable in that patriarchal society. And the most vulnerable are the closest to God's heart. And the triad of the vulnerable is the orphan, the widow, and the stranger. It is this welcome of the stranger and the vulnerable women and vulnerable children in our society, their support and their empowerment, that is central to how the kingdom of God manifests and echoes into the world. For when we welcome the most vulnerable, when we give them a home, there is hope for everyone. There is an embrace of everyone. And here the 72 are sent out as vulnerable, vulnerable into the world. And their very vulnerability is the preaching. That vulnerability has a consequence. When it is accepted, embraced, and lifted up, it is a sign that the kingdom of God is round about us and is about the way we act. When that vulnerability is not embraced and not welcomed, the kingdom of God stands as a threat to us, challenging us, drawing us out from our selfish selves, drawing us out from our invulnerabilities to recognize our vulnerability and our need to be embraced by the welcome of others. So we look at our world and we look at our societies around us and we say, where are the widows, the orphans, and the strangers? Where are the vulnerable children, the vulnerable and the oppressed? And how does our society relate to them? And how do I express the aboutness of the kingdom of God in my attitudes and in my stretching out of hands towards them, or in my holding back from doing anything because they are not of us? It's the same phrase, know that the kingdom of God is near. The same phrase, heard so differently because we hear it either from the kingdom of God or outside the kingdom of God. And sometimes we are standing on the threshold between the kingdom, its aboutness, and the threshold of seeing the kingdom and its aboutness as a threat. We are asked to reflect this morning on our own attitudes, on our community attitudes, on our national and global attitudes to the message that proclaims the kingdom of God is near, no matter what. Amen.